Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I want to welcome you today to our midweek video for this week. This morning, it is the 15th of December, and this video will be released tomorrow on Thursday, December 16th. I want to welcome you today to our YouTube channel here. If you haven't already done so, we'd like to ask you to consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here so you can stay current with the ministry, with our teaching from Sunday morning at the church, as well as content being created midweek and the rebroadcasting of the Grace History Project. Usually every month we feature a book, one of my books for sale. This week we're featuring the sale on all my books put on by my publisher, Dispensational Publishing House. So you can pick up all of my books from Dispensational Publishing House for 20% off. If you use promo code BLESSED at checkout, you'll get 20% off your entire order. And you can save and pick up these volumes here if you're interested in doing that. Maybe you have some Christmas shopping or you've put this off and you've been wanting to get one of these. Now would be a great time to do that with the sale of 20% off direct through the publisher. The sale is good through the end of December. So it ends December 31st. So if you haven't already done so, consider checking one of those out. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt text site should something happen to our YouTube ministry. And we update this weekly with our videos and such from the previous week. So Rumble's another way to get the content of the church. If you're into alt text sites, consider subscribing there as well if you would do that. All right, so last week what I did is I talked about this. I taught this lesson right here. Does 1 John 2:23 prove double inspiration in the King James Bible? And we were talking in that lesson about 1 John chapter 2, verse 23, and the 10 words in italics at the end. And we were looking at, remember what prompted last week's lesson was the Sunday school lesson I taught at Grace Life Bible Church, lesson 159 in the From This Generation Forever class on to what extent were the rules followed. And we were looking at to what extent the translators of the King James followed rule number one, to follow the bishop's Bible unless the truth of the original said otherwise. And in prepping for that, I had watched a few videos and I heard some pro King James advocates talking about 1 John 2 verse 23 and the 10 words in italics and whether and asserting that that proved that the King James had some sort of inspiration upon it in the same sense that, say, Paul was inspired when he wrote the book of Romans, that kind of a thing. Although it was unclear if it was sort of a primary inspiration or a secondary inspiration, the bottom line is these 10 words in italics in that verse were used to prove some sort of extra spiritual happenings in some way with the translators. And I showed you last week that the Bishop's Bible, the Reims Bible, the Wycliffe Bible, a whole bunch of other Bibles before the King James all had those 10 verses in it. And you can see called up here on the screen, here's the bishops, and you can see it's in italics and smaller font and in brackets, indicating in the 1568 reader of the Bishop's Bible that those words were in italics. So we talked about that. And in doing so, I showed you Bod 1602. This is a document that is in the possession of the Bodleian Library in England. And it is a copy of a 1602 Bishop's Bible with the handwritten notations of the translators in the margin. So we have certifiable, documentable evidence of Rule 1 being followed, and I showed you this image last time. Now, in my class From This Generation Forever that I teach in the Adult Sunday School Hour at Grace Life Bible Church on Sundays, we're getting to a point, finally, where we're actually going to start looking into these documents, these primary source documents that have survived history, to look at what they tell us about the process, about the translation, about what the translators did. It's an extremely fascinating study. Now, I'm not going to lie. For some of you, hopefully you're not going to find it boring. I certainly don't find it boring. I find it exciting to be able to look behind the translation and see what the translators are doing in real time. So this is one of those primary source documents, Bod 1602. And I brought this up here and brought it to your attention last week when we were talking about 1 John 2:23. Now, today what I want to do is I want to talk about another one of these primary source documents. And I want to show you some things I've been working on. I'm not done with it. I'm not releasing this document yet to the public, but I've started working on a document that I've called Romans 1 Comparison Table, at least for now. And what it does is it uses one of the other three primary source documents, work in progress documents, that is in a British library, to get to the bottom or to look at what's happening with the translation. Okay? Now, in this case, the document that I'm using is a document called Manuscript 98. Manuscript 98 is in the Lambeth Palace Library in Great Britain, and it is a manuscript that was prepared by the Second Westminster Translational Company that worked on the New Testament epistles. So they worked on Romans through Jude, and they produced this document that is cataloged in Lambeth Palace Library, known as Manuscript 98. Now, just like we can see here with Bod 1602, now, unfortunately, the Bodleian Library hasn't released too many images to the public, so we're somewhat limited in what we can show, but here's one picture of it from Bod 1602. Lambeth Palace Library, with Manuscript 98, has released some additional images, okay? So here's Manuscript 98. Now, I'm not going to get into a big, long description of it physically right now. I'm going to do that later in my class. But I do want to look at some things here with you. So if you look at this document, you can see right here, here is the stamp of Lambeth Palace Library at the top of Manuscript 98. And here in this passage, what we have is the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Romans. So this is a handwritten manuscript now produced by the Second Westminster Company working on the New Testament epistles as they do their work. Okay? Now, this is a very fascinating document. This document is believed to be indicative of stage one revisions to the Bishop's Bible in the process of translating the King James Bible. All right? So, you will notice a couple things I want to point out to you, and then I'll explain them a little bit more completely here in a second. So notice you have verse 1. Then you have verse 2, and it's blank. Now, that doesn't mean that the translators thought verse 2 shouldn't be in the Bible. What it means is that that was in their first stage of revision. What they were intending there was to move forward the bishop's Bible reading without alteration. And then you have verse 3 and 4, and if we go down here, let's see if we can go back in here, we have, again, verse 6. Is blank, verses 8 and 9 are blank, and then there's handwritten revisions here on this document, on Manuscript 98, on what the translators thought the reading should be. And they are coming off of the Bishop's Bible as the base text. Now, before I get into my table here, I want to talk to you about one other thing. In the 1970s, Ward Allen went to Lambeth Palace Library and studied the entire document, all of Manuscript 98. And he wrote this book in 1970. He wrote this book in 1977. There it is. And he did it for Vanderbilt University Press. And what Ward Allen does is he collated the entirety of Manuscript 98, and he put his findings into this book. Now, this book is exceedingly rare. It's very hard to find. If you can find it, it's going to be hundreds of dollars to pick this book up. I had the help from a member of the Body of Christ who got it for me from the Ohio State University. I'll let you figure out who that is on your own. But I appreciate this brother doing this for me. And what Ward Allen does here is he reproduces for a reader the contents of this document right here, Manuscript 98. So he sat there for 9 months to a year. I can't remember how long this took him. And he went line by line, through every verse, through every script of every verse in Manuscript 98, and he used it to produce this book that he published here in 1977. So I have this book, obviously, access to it. It's right there on my screen for you to check out that, you know, I'm not misrepresenting that. And why I'm doing this is because if I just rewind on Ward Allen here, and told you what Ward Allen said, you would sort of be forced to take my word for it, okay? But what's fascinating is that because of the image releases here on the Lambeth Palace Library, I can show you the document for a variety of passages. Unfortunately, they've only released 10 images. They have Romans 1, they have 1 Corinthians 13, Hebrews 1, James 1, and maybe a few other random spots that they've released images for here on the Lambeth Palace Library website. But my point is, we could take the work of Ward here from this 1977 book, and we could confirm it by looking at actual photos, images of Manuscript 98 released by the Lambeth Palace Library. So that's what I did to create this document, this Romans chapter 1 comparison table here that I want to show you just a few things about. So this is a work in progress document. I'm not prepared yet to release this or put this on the church's website for people to look at. That's coming. I'm just not done with it yet. It's a very tedious process here. Let me show you what I've done. So another thing I just want to say is, to produce this, what I've used is, number one, the Lambeth Palace Library images online, like I just showed you. I use Ward Allen's book from 1977, like I just showed you. And I use the 1602 Bishop's Bible accessible in the New Testament Octapla. So if you're not familiar with the New Testament Octapla, this is what it is. It is 8 versions in the King James tradition. At least that's what the title says. I'm not sure the RV and the ASV are. But what this has in it, guys, is it has Tyndale, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible. And then it has the Reims Bible and the King James Bible on facing pages for every passages. And you'll see up here that the Bishop's Bible that it has and that it's using is 1602. So it's using the 1602 edition of the 1568 Bishop's Bible. And it just so happens that the 1602 edition of the King or of the Bishop's is the base text for the King James. So when you look at the images then on the Bodleian Library website, they are using a 1602 King James, which just so happens to be the same edition whose text is reproduced in the New Testament Octapla, so that I can have access to it and see what the base text was. Okay, and then the other thing I used to create this is the 1611 King James Bible online, which you can access here. I'll put a link to this in the description for this video. So those are the things that I used to create this. And let's just look at this, okay? So here's the table. Here we have the verse number, what verse we're talking about. Here we have first the 1602 Bishop's reading. Then we have the Manuscript 98 reading. So this reading here, where my mouse is for Manuscript 98, is coming from this document right here. Here's Romans 1. Here's Romans 1. This is where we're getting it from. And then we finally have the AV 1611. So what we can do, guys, is we can lay out the base text, the first stage revision of Manuscript 98, and then compare it against the final product of 1611. And we can see now the text of the bishops being revised to become the text of the King James. Okay? So this again proves beyond all doubt, as does Bod 1602 from last week, that the King James translators absolutely followed rule number one, and they followed it with a very high degree of fidelity. So let's just look at a couple examples here in this video, and I intend on doing a more full-scale presentation of this document when I get to this point in my class at church. So the bishops, 1602, had, for verse 1 in Romans 1, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, severed unto the gospel of God. Manuscript 98 makes one change. It changes the servant of Jesus Christ to Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, severed unto the gospel of God. So there's one revision in Manuscript 98 of the 1602 Bishop's Bible, and it is the switch from the servant to a servant here in the first line of the verse. So that's a first stage revision. Notice that they didn't make any other changes other than that swap from the to a. Okay, then we could come to the 1611. We could see that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. So did the translators ultimately accept the revision, or the change from the to a. They did, because there's the change showing up now in the King James. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. So notice that severed in the 1602 and in manuscript 98 is changed to separated here in the 1611. So we have two changes now. So that shows two different levels or stages of revision. Stage one revision would be the change from the to a, which shows up in the 1611. And then a stage two revision would be that they came, as they came back through this a second time or a third time or whatever time that they were on, we don't know that for sure, but we do know for sure that they elected to change one more thing, because manuscript 98 had severed, 1611 here now says separated. So we can see at least two different stages of revision here by looking at this. Now, the other thing that we can do, guys, is we can go a level, we could go a level deeper, and we can look at what, where is the change coming from? What pre-1611 English Bible is providing the word change here, the word change A, or the reading change to separated, okay? And that's where on this document you see these little superscript letters in blue. So this has a superscript G by this change here to from the servant to a servant. And this has a superscript little R here. That is a indication of where we can find that reading change occurring, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually click this, see if I get this to work, and show you. So this change happens to occur in, I believe, the Geneva Bible. So here's the Geneva Bible reading. Notice it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. So the change from the servant to a servant, that change is furnished by the Geneva Bible. All right. And we can also see that if we go to the octapla here. Here's the bishops, the base, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. Now remember that manuscript 98 changed that to Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Here's the Geneva, and notice what it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. So in this case, this change, this revision of the bishops in Romans 1:1 in manuscript 98 is furnished by the Geneva Bible. We can go to that level of depth. We can go to that level of understanding of what is happening to the text as the translators are doing their work by following the primary source work in progress documents. Now, my dad tells me all the time, he says, Brian, you're the only one in the world that cares about any of this stuff. I hope that's not true. I hope that you guys watching this will be just as excited and fascinated about this as I am, okay? Now we can do the same thing here for separated. So if I click here on the superscript for separated, the change from severed to separated, I'm going to find that the change in the reading was provided by, the Reams. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. The Reams New Testament was done in 1582, and here is a change from severed to separated, and that change is clearly coming from the Reams. Now, I know this goes against all of the things that people have been told, but it's objective, folks. It's factual. There are Reams readings in the King James Bible. This is an objective fact, okay? It goes against the two streams. It goes against a lot of things that are customarily said. But that change from severed to separated, the word change, the reading change to separated, is no doubt coming from the Reams. The King James translators are choosing to move forward separated. Now, you could go back here. We can see this in the New Testament octapla. So here's the bishop's base text. Here is where it says severed right above the hand icon there, severed under the gospel of God. You come to the Geneva Bible. What did the Geneva had? It had put apart. So the bishop's changed put apart to severed. If you go back even further, look at the Great Bible, put apart. In the Great Bible, we could go back and look at Tyndale here, and we could see put apart. And we can come down here and look at Reams, and we could see right there, separated. So there's so much information that we can glean now by being able to compare Manuscript 98, a work-in-progress primary source document, against the base text of a 1602 Bishop's Bible and against the final product of a 1611 King James. Now, for the purposes of this lesson, I just want to show you one more thing, and that's verse 2. So look at verse 2. Verse 2 in Manuscript 98 is blank. Let me just go back and show you that. So here we go. Here's Manuscript 98. Here's verse 1, scripted out. Verse 2 is left blank. Goes on to verse 3. Again, the leaving of verse 2 blank is not, they're not saying this verse shouldn't be in the Bible. What they're saying is we accept in this verse the Bishop's Bible reading of Romans 1-2 without revision, without any changes, without it changing the wording, without any revisions of the text. So let's go check and see if that's, in fact, what's going on. So here we look at verse 2. Here's the bishop's base text, 1602, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And again, it's blank in Manuscript 98. We can look at the 1611. Notice what it says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Notice that it moves the exact same wording of the bishops forward into the AV. None of the wording is changed. The only thing is a few punctuation changes, but the reading, the wording of the text is the same in the 1602 Bishop's Bible as it is in the 1611 King James Bible, and it's left blank in Manuscript 98. What this shows beyond doubt is that the King James translators, as they're working, as that second Westminster company is working on the process, they are using the Bishop's Bible as a base text. And Manuscript 98 doesn't make any sense unless it is correlating with a Bishop's Bible as its base. And we can see very clearly by establishing the table, by laying the readings in parallel columns here, what is going on with this information. Now, there are other examples of where they leave something blank. So we could come down here on this document, and there are some other blanks. Verses 6, verse 8, verse 9 were also left blank. So let's just scroll down and check on that, because sometimes what happens is they still made revision. So here's verse 6, among whom ye are also the called of Jesus Christ, left blank in Manuscript 98. The King James, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. So it's blank in Manuscript 98, and there's no change to the bishop's wording in the AV. There's a few punctuation changes, but the wording is adopted as it stands in the 1602 Bishop's Bible. Now, here's a different kind of example, though. So here's verse 8 of Romans 1. Here's the 1602 Bishop's reading. And again, it's left blank in Manuscript 98. You can see that right here on the image. Verse 8 is left blank. So that indicates that at the first stage of the revision, they intended to keep the bishop's reading, the 1602 bishop's reading, without alteration. Okay? And that's why I have it blank here in this middle column. However, when you look at the AV, you can see that at a different stage, some changes were made to the bishop's reading in verse 8. For example, verily is dropped in the AV. Okay? I catalog a few other ones. Published is changed, right? So here it says is published. Here it says is spoken of. So the original intent of the Westminster Company when they went through this was to accept the bishop's reading in verse 8 without alteration. Later, at a different stage of the process, changes were still made to this verse, even though it was originally left blank by the Second Westminster Company when they produced Manuscript 98. So that's already been a lot of information. What I'm intending to do here with this document is do this catalog everything for Romans chapter 1 into one spot, and then I'll be going through this with more detail. So I hope you guys can get even a fraction as excited about this as I am, because we can really see, we could see what's going on, we could see what the base was, we can see first stage revisions, we could see later stage revisions, we can look at what's the basis for the reading change. So in those cases where the bishop's reading was altered, what was the source? which would also, I should add, be Rule 14. These translations to be used when they agree better with the text in the Bishop's Bible, viz. Tyndall, Matthews, Coverdale, Whit Churches, which is the Great Bible, and Geneva. So we could see by looking here, and we just looked at one example, that in one case, the change in verse 1 is made based upon the Geneva, and in another case, it is made based upon the Reims. Now, I know the Reims not listed in Rule 14, but there are a bunch of changes made just in Romans 1, at least 10, where a Reims reading is adopted and ends up in the AV. Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to think about. There's a lot to consider, as always. And I'm excited to finish this document, present it to my class, to the From This Generation Forever class at Grace Life Bible Church, and then make the document live online so that people can actually kind of go through it and process all that information on their own time. So to wrap up this video, a couple things here. If you're fascinated by what we're talking about, you've got to check out From This Generation Forever class, where I just taught this past week. I actually have to update this after I make this video, but where we're talking about all of these things in very great detail as we're building that class out. I just taught lesson 160 last week. And then I also want to remind everybody about the rebroadcasting of the Grace History Project on this channel, on this YouTube channel. I had a technical problem over the weekend. We had storms come through and I had some internet issues, so I wasn't able to upload for Monday. But every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 9 a.m. on this channel, we are re-releasing or rebroadcasting the Grace History Project. This is a great opportunity for you to learn about church history from the point of view of Pauline truth and mid-acts dispensationalism. Okay, this is the only place you're going to get an analysis of church history with this level of depth from the point of view of Pauline truth. And so, as the subtitle suggests, this is tracing the abandonment and resurgence of Pauline truth from Paul to the present. So please check that out. If you haven't already done so, just also want to remind you guys, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell, if you would share this video, leave a comment. It helps get the word out about this channel and so forth. So if you're finding this at all interesting, please do that. I want to remind you about the book sale before we go, about 20% off all my books from Dispensational Publishing House. This link is in the description for this video. Use promo code BLESSED at checkout to save 20% there. Don't forget about Rumble. And also don't forget about the podcast my wife and I are doing, the Just Grace It podcast with Brian and Becky Ross. We did release an episode last week. It's this one right here, Atheists, Rescue Horses, and the Gospel. If that doesn't entice you to check that out, I don't know what will, but you're definitely going to want to check that out. Guys, we got a lot of content, a lot of things we're trying to do, a lot of ways to try to edify the body of Christ that we're producing here. It's the passion of our hearts to do so, and we hope that you can see that and maybe even consider supporting it as the ministry continues to move forward. Before you go, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you have never come to the place where you've acknowledged your sin before Almighty God, that you cannot save yourself, that all of your works and your best efforts and your best trying to get it done is always going to leave you short of the glory of God, you need to understand that Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into the world as a baby. I know this is what we tend to focus on this time of year. But he did it so that he could go to the cross and die for the sin of the world. The Son of God became one of the sons of men so that the sons of men would have the opportunity to become the sons of God. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. He shed his blood there in payment for our sin. He was buried and he rose again the third day as the only payment for, as a total complete payment for our sins. And he's willing to give anybody today who would trust and rely exclusively on his death upon the cross, his shed blood, and his burial and resurrection as the only complete total and payment for their sin. He's willing to give you eternal life as a free gift. Today, right now, you can receive eternal life. You can be taken out from under the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. You can be sealed and indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, and you can have and enjoy eternal life as a free gift. If you haven't already done so, would you consider trusting the gospel today? believing and by faith applying to your account the provision that the Lord Jesus Christ made for your sins on Calvary. If you haven't already done so today, please don't wait. Do it today before it's everlasting too late. Appreciate your time and watching this video. See you next week.